That's a great song, isn't it? To God be the glory for all that He's done for us. Take your Bibles now. Let's go to Psalm 68 tonight for the next few minutes. Psalm 68. And we'll look at verses 15 through 19. This is a psalm or a song of David about God's blessings. It's telling about an exhortation to praise God for what He's done for them. And that's the train of thought we need tonight, is to praise God for all that He's done. Verse 15, Psalm 68, verse 15. The title of the message is Thank God for His Benefits. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, and high hill as the hill of Bashan. Why leap ye, ye high hills? This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. That was a prophecy about what Christ was going to do. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Now look at verse 19, our text verse. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. And then the word Selah, which means pause and really consider what has been said and think about it. I am thankful for the holidays for a number of reasons, but I'm glad we still in America recognize Thanksgiving. The history of it goes back to a long time ago, about 1621, when the Plymouth colony was celebrating, at least to some degree, the blessings of God. And there seems to be some record and indication of the fact that they were thanking God for bringing them through a terrible winter period of time where they really didn't know what was going to happen. They needed rain. There was a drought. They prayed and God blessed. And I want to tell you, they didn't just meet the Indians to thank the Indians for their help. The Christians and the Christian Indians both met together and both groups praised God. Now, we need to get that, the revisionist historians need to get that right. And let people know that the Indians, too, were recognizing God. And many of them had been saved and had come to Christ because they saw God answer prayer. And they knew these people wanted to give glory to God. George Washington was involved in it a little bit in 1789, the first National Day of Prayer and the first National Day of Thanksgiving. But then came the Civil War, and Abraham Lincoln, after the Civil War, set aside the last Thursday in November. And the purpose, to quote him, was to acknowledge the gracious gifts of the Most High God. They were not reserved or politically correct with anybody in those days. They were giving God the honor due God. And I wish our politicians would get back to that today, don't you? It'd be a lot easier to go out and vote, and a lot easier to vote for them if you could hear them make statements like that. Actually, to give credit to one woman by the name of Sarah Hale, the truth of the matter was that woman was the one who really made it her business to try to get that as a national day and a holiday, and she worked real hard at it. She never gets a lot of credit. She lived to be about 90, 92 years of age, but she worked so hard to get it done, and then these presidents cooperated with her, and finally Abraham Lincoln. Now, look at these verses as we think about this holiday, this time of period. And look at what the psalmist said as he reminds us. The word blessed here really could be translated without doing one whit of damage to it. Praise the Lord. We need to give praise and honor and glory to Almighty God. It doesn't do us any damage to praise the Lord. We ought to praise the Lord. Blessed be God. Praise the Lord. The Psalms are just saturated, and they were intended as songs for the most part, but they're saturated with exhortations to the believers to praise the Lord. Like Psalm 100 in verse 4. The psalmist said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Well, obviously many of us and probably all of us came into the church house tonight with thanksgiving. We heard a lot of great testimonies. People who were thankful, and many of you who did not testify, you had one in your heart and you were thinking of something that God's done for you. And no doubt on your way to church tonight, perhaps you were thinking of that. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Give him glory. Be thankful unto him. And the psalmist said, bless his name. Give praise to God. He's the one that deserves the praise, doesn't he? If there be any praise, she's saying in that song, let it go to Calvary. If I have succeeded in my ministry in any way, it all goes back to God, to Calvary. To God be the glory. I know me and I know my faults and I know I'm a sinner, but I know God has blessed and God called me and God put his hand on me. But I want to tell you tonight, all the glory, as far as I'm concerned, goes to God. And whatever we have accomplished in life and are accomplishing, we better remember to give God the glory for it. Give God the glory for it. Then look at what he says. Praise or blessed be the Lord. He's the one who daily loadeth. Look at that word, loadeth. Let that thing jump out at you. This happened to be a verse in my time this morning alone with the Lord, in my devotional time early this morning. And I looked at that word when I got to loadeth. And I thought about a wheelbarrow being loaded down. Is your wheelbarrow loaded down tonight? Amen. Loadeth us. He didn't say light. He's not talking about light blessings. He's talking about a load of blessings. He's talking about a bunch of blessings. The truckload. Loaded down. Packed down. Filled up. Running over. Blessed be the Lord who loadeth us with benefits. He loads us down, doesn't he? You think of a lot of them. Then there's another word there that just jumps out at me, and that is the word daily. How often does God load us down with benefits? How often does God bless us? Every day that we live, God blesses us. We may not recognize all of them as blessings, but they're blessings nonetheless. Even if it might be little Emily Rose. We don't understand those things, but God does. And God uses those things. But every day, the psalmist said, praise God, because daily, every day, he loads us down with blessings. I'm glad I can see tonight. I'm glad I can hear tonight. I'm glad I can smell turkey tonight. And cranberry sauce and all that stuff. And coconut cake, amen. I'm glad I can walk. Some people can't. Maybe you don't have quite all those blessings. Maybe you've lost your hearing. Maybe there are some problems with your sight. I don't know. But still, we have many, many blessings every day that God gives us. In spite of all of those things, we have daily blessings. Has he loaded you with blessings today? Some of you shared some of them with us, but my, how good God is to us. Do you know it's a blessing that God allowed you to come to church tonight? It really is. Even if your mom and daddy made you come, young people. It's a blessing that you have a mom and daddy that wants you in God's house. And I believe you wanted to be here. But we're blessed every day. Just think of all God's already done for you today. Just today. Protection and the air you breathe, the health you have, the food on the table, the peace during a time of bereavement. Brother Thornton lost his sister, but he has a blessing in spite of that. You heard him stand tonight and testify of God's good grace and how he prayed that God would take her to heaven and she's with the Lord. And that's a blessing. He understands that. Not that you want to lose a loved one, but he understands that. It's a blessing of God that she went on to be with the Lord, and he recognized that as a blessing in his life. And I'm glad that we can do that. He loadeth us with benefits. Benefits. Now, I know that's italicized, but I believe the translators did a good job of bringing us to the reality of what he's saying there. And they are benefits. I mean, it's totally implied without question that we have so many benefits, and God gives us those benefits. And we can think of so many different things tonight that we ought to be thankful for. But let me tell you something. There is something out there called the iniquity or the sin of being unthankful. And that's a sin. When people are unthankful, it is a sin. As a matter of fact, did you know that an unthankful attitude is one of the signs of the spirit and attitude of people in the last days? Young people, are you listening? Mom and Dad? Here's what the Scripture says. 2 Timothy 3:2, "For men shall be covetous, blasphemers, unthankful." When? That's a sign of living in the last days. And sometimes even that not only creeps in our society. Oh, everybody is self-made, and we do our thing, and we make our money, and we didn't need God to do it. Sometimes some of that sort of creeps into the church, and if we're not careful, we will get to the place that we're complaining and griping, and we forget to see our blessings. God help us to see our blessings. It is so easy to get up every day and see all the negative. It's so easy to get up every day and whine and complain about life and all the problems and all the difficulties and live in self-pity. But God's not pleased with that. Even though we have some difficult days, we ought to be thankful. Unthankfulness, according to the Bible, I believe, is a sin. And I might just say something about the inclusiveness of thankfulness. The iniquity of it is to be unthankful, but the inclusiveness of it is to thank God for everything. Now, I want to tell you, sometimes that's hard for me, but Ephesians tells us, giving thanks always for what? A-double-L, all things. Unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks." You ever find that hard to do? I do. Especially a flat tire on the interstate. A number of things that might come and we don't understand those things. Delays in traffic. Sometimes that's hard to give thanks for that. But you know, you never know when God's protecting you. You just don't know. And God's time is always right. God's timing and God's working in our life is always the right thing. And everything give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you as a believer. That's God's will. Give thanks. Doesn't mean we don't have some tears sometimes. Doesn't mean we don't weep sometimes. But in spite of all of that, we still learn that we give thanks to God for things. Uncertain things. Things that we don't understand. We have to trust God. Moses did. Abraham did. Noah did. We have to trust God in uncertain things and just know that He's in charge. When there's a crisis, when there's turbulence, when the barns are full or when the barns are empty. We can all shout when the barns are full. It takes a little more grace to shout when they're getting pretty empty, doesn't it? But we need to praise God for all of those things. He has a purpose for it. Whether our health is in full tide or our health is ebbing, I believe mine's beginning to ebb a little bit. And that time begins to come in your life. You have to work on it. But you got to give God praise no matter what. Doesn't matter. Did we think we were going to stay youthful all of our lives? It's not going to happen. We might as well get ready to give God praise when we have arthritis and lumbago and all the rest of it. Amen. Just get ready and thank God anyway, because God is a merciful God and He's in charge. Thank God for friends, but thank God when they disappoint you. Forgive them and love them anyway. Thank God for the fireplace and thank God for the fire persecution. Doesn't matter. We need to thank God for everything. And we know that all things work together for good. Not all things are good. Some things we don't like, but all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. Do you love the Lord tonight? Then whatever's taking place in my life and your life, and I always almost hate to preach a message like this because, like somebody said in the testimony of Brother Gaiman tonight, it won't be long, maybe the Lord will be testing me to see if I believe what I say. And He does that from time to time, not because He hates us, but because He wants to purify us. Because He wants to make us pure silver, and He wants to test us and see if we're really going to trust Him during all of those things. We need to trust the Lord, and during times of blessings, and when God blesses us, we ought to be inspired. He said, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." Let people know it. Praise the Lord. Let people know that God is good. David said it this way, "That I may publish, that I may publish with a voice of thanksgiving and tell all thy wondrous works." What a privilege it is to give a testimony for him. Amen. David said, "It's a great thing for me to be able to stand up and say what God has done for me." And I'm not putting you down if you didn't stand up tonight. I'm just saying that David said, that's a great thing to do. Daniel said, "God, I will thank you." And he didn't always have the best circumstances. The apostles said, "We're thankful that we're counted worthy to serve God." Paul, who was stoned and beaten, said, "Lord, I thank you that I get to serve you. I'm not worthy to serve you." We ought to give God praise, and they gave God praises for all of that. There's so many different things. How do we show our thanksgiving? Are we thankful? Do we neglect it? If we're thankful, I can think of two or three things that will allow us to show thanksgiving. One of those, I believe, is accepting Jesus Christ's gift of eternal life and being born again. And then after that, I think if we're thankful for what God does, we're going to be willing to give to Him. Amen? We understand that He gives us everything we have, and therefore, we think it not strange at all that He would only ask a little bit back, and we are thankful, and we prove it by our giving. Another way I think we prove it is by our living. Are we really thankful for what God's done for us? Then, bless God, we ought to live right. And if we are thankful, then we'll say, "God, I want to walk in obedience to you, and I want to be in fellowship with you." And one of the signs of it is that we obey the Lord. We say, "Lord, I thank you for all that you've done for me, saving me and all of the blessings. And because I'm thankful, I'm determined I'm going to live a holy life for you. I'm going to show you, God, that I love you." Obedience is one of the signs to show God. And another thing comes to my mind is service. I believe if we're thankful, we're going to do our very, very best to say, "God, here am I, take me. I'm available to serve you any way I can." Thank God for all of our people. All of our people, most of you here tonight, have some position, some place, something you're doing, either in team soul winning or some of our nursery workers who are back there tonight. I don't know if the speaker's on or not, but thank God for them. That's a dirty job, isn't it? In many ways. But thank God for everybody who's serving the Lord. You know why I think they do it? Not just because I've asked them to do it, because they love God. They keep their eyes on the Lord. They love God. And if we're thankful tonight, we're going to make things right in our hearts and show Him that we love Him by obeying the Lord. Now, we're going to have an invitation. We have the Lord's Supper. And of course, you know what the Bible says, that there were some who were partaking of the Lord's Supper unworthily. Please understand that doesn't, you know, all of us know we're unworthy of the Lord's Supper. We all understand that. But what he was talking about was if we have things in our life that we have not confessed, and then we go ahead and take the Lord's Supper, that's doing it unworthily. And he said many are sick because of that. The Lord's Supper doesn't save. We ought to be right in our hearts. Saved, born again, baptized by immersion, true believers, in the family of Almighty God, and right in our hearts with God as we partake of the Lord's Supper tonight. And what a way to do it is to let Him know. I've had people say to me, "Well, I'm just not going to do it because my heart's right." I wonder how God feels about that. Because my heart's not right. Don't you think that hurts God? Don't you think that would make Him think that you're not thankful? Why would we withhold from partaking of the Lord's Supper? We need to have our hearts right and do it and just say, "God, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the broken body of Jesus, aren't you? I'm thankful tonight. Thank God for the shed blood of Jesus Christ that washes away all of our sins." And so let's enter into it. As you get the elements and you hold them, think about it, pray, meditate, go back to the cross and be thankful. Amen? Be thankful. We want to have an invitation. Let's stand. Let's have an invitation. Give you an opportunity maybe to come and thank God for something specific. Come and pray for somebody. Whatever, I don't know what God's laid on your heart. The altar is open. And then after we have our invitation, then we'll have the men come forward right after that, and we'll be serving the Lord's Supper. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, bless in the invitation. God, thank you. I thank you tonight for your mercy and your grace, for Christ, for all of the blessings. I thank you for what I understand. I thank you for what I don't understand. I thank you, God, that you're working in our lives. Thank you, you're working in this church. Thank you for letting me pastor this church. These fine people, these good people. God, I pray now you would bless us. Let us search our hearts. And then, Lord, help us to partake of the Lord's Supper with thanksgiving in our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The altar's open. You can come while we sing together. May God speak to your heart.